It's Tuesday, May 15th, and you're listening to The Geek at Geek News Central, show number 765, sponsored in part by GoDaddy.com. Save 25% on a one-year fourth-generation hosting account by using the promo code NAB. New customers save 25% off the entire order by using the promo code 25MAY3. Geek News Central is a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network. If it's tech, it's here. Hey, folks, you know what comes next. Strap in. Here it comes.
All right, people, I need a go-no-go for the Geek News Central podcast. Digital archive recorders.
We're go fly.
Microphone.
We're go fly.
Video feed.
Go.
Web browser.
Go.
RSS data stream aggregator.
Go fly.
Interflux Todism suppressor.
All right, I'm confused.
Host readiness check.
Welcome to the show. Welcome to the show.
The Geek News Central podcast is a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network. If it's tech, it's here. All right, ladies and gentlemen, we are ready to go. Cue Todd in...
Five.
Button, who's got the button?
Four.
There is no cause for alarm.
Three.
Everybody hold on to something.
Two.
Just press the button.
One.
It's showtime.
Aloha and welcome to the Geek News Central podcast, coming as live as it can be from the beautiful state of Hawaii via the Geek News Central studio overlooking Greater Honolulu. Hey everyone, welcome to the show. Of course, my name is Todd Cochran, and I want to encourage you to get over to geeknewscentral.com. Check out all the great content. Of course, check out all our archive podcasts. You can always reach me real easy by reaching out on Twitter at Geek News, or you can email me geeknews@gmail.com, or you can call our voicemail hotline. Open 24 hours a day, 7 days a week at 619-342-7365. Hey, everyone, welcome to the show. Of course, all of you that are longtime listeners and viewers of the show, thanks for being here. Thanks for being part of the Ohana. And those of you that are checking out the show for the very first time, I record this here out of my studio in Honolulu when I'm in Honolulu and getting ready to start a grand tour across the United States here in a couple of weeks. But, for now, we've got a couple of shows here in Hawaii before we head out with a brand new HD mobile portable. The HD, what am I calling it? the HD mobile studio. So looking forward to get that on the road here in another week or so. But hey, thanks for being here and thanks for being part of the family. And if you're checking us out for the very first time, again, go over to geeknewscentral.com. Check out all our great content. Got a great bevy of writers over there, putting great content on the website on a daily basis. Of course, our shows that we do at the website, we do this show every Monday and Thursday night for a Tuesday, Friday release. Of course, we have special media events that happen all the time. We have Saturday Morning Tech, which there wasn't one this past week, and we'll talk about that in a minute. Of course, we got the Gadget Professor. It comes out every Thursday. Robot Underpants, which comes out on Fridays. And of course, the Chrome Show periodically by me. And of course, you want to get subscribed to any and all of those shows. You can find that link right there in the main website. Get signed up for the newsletter as well. The newsletter contains everything that I really covered during the show. And the main thing is here, you're going to be able to stay abreast of all the articles that I talk about by visiting our show notes page. Everything is over on a very dedicated page at this point where we put all the show notes for the podcast over at gncshownotes.com. The reason we do that is Google was hammering us for having all the links in a single article, so we have them lifted over there separately. But the links can always be found right there from Geek News Central, right in the show notes. The newsletter really contains all the content that I talk about during tonight's show. So you'll get the newsletter if you're signed up for it with all the links, with all the details built in. But of course, if you haven't saw the show live or any time and want to see the video portion of the show, you can watch on your Roku, on your Boxy, Samsung Smart TV, Google TV as well, under the Tech Podcast channel that we have available for you. Well, I tell you, we've got a lot going on here, and I hope everyone had a nice weekend with their moms for Mother's Day. I know what we did here is we did what is referred to in Hawaii as a staycation. Basically, we didn't go anywhere, but we drove down to Waikiki and stayed at a hotel downtown for single night, and checked in early and then checked out late. Worked out real well. Hung out at the pool for a massive number of hours. I've got one with a sunburn, two that were smart enough to put enough suntan lotion on, and everything else went fantastic. So we can't complain. Had a great little staycation downtown. Of course, if you're following me on Facebook, you saw some of the pictures I had up. And actually, we were doing a little live streaming from the balcony of the hotel room as well, on using our little Servio device where I can stream with basically my camcorder this little handheld live shell device, and a MiFi was kind of fun. Had that up for about an hour on Saturday night. Now, there was no Saturday morning tech. My wife reminded me Friday night. She says, you know, we are leaving here. It's 7 a.m. tomorrow morning. And I was like, we are? And being it was Mother's Day, or the Mother's Day weekend, I said, yes, dear. And off we went Saturday morning and had to be downtown. My son was in a robotics competition, so I had to be down there to drop him off. And it worked out because we started our staycation a little early, went to breakfast, and it was good. Nice little family time for the weekend. So anyway, we're back here in the studio, ready for the full work week, and ready to put on a great show for you tonight. We did do a power press release this past week at Raw Voice. So if you're a new media creator, you're going to want to check that out. That's available and on the street as well. Hey, we did have a number of folks that sent feedback for our latest contest that we ran. And I've got it written down here. The winner of the iPod Nano is Michael Andrews. And I want to thank him for his comments. We got a bunch of them in that came into the show that basically we made it three criteria. We're asking folks to tell us about what you thought about the beginning of the show, the middle of the show, and the ending. So you got a huge number of responses on that. I'm going to take all those comments to heart and incorporate them, any changes I think may be necessary. So we want to thank everyone for doing that. But again, Michael Andrews is our iPod Nano winner. We have gotten all the prizes that were due to some contests that we had that I didn't get shipped out for one in March. Don't know how I missed that one. Everything for up this has been caught up. So really the only thing that we have to get on orders is Michael's iPod Nano from this show. And congratulations to him on that. So we will have another contest. I'll announce it here near the end of the show, what we're going to require for really contest number 5 in this month of being Listener Appreciation Month for being part of the Ohana here at Geek News Central. So I want to take care of a little business before we get into the content, because I do have a good stack of stuff for you tonight. And longtime sponsor here to the show, GoDaddy.com, has got a great offer for all of you this month. And it doesn't matter if you're a new customer or if you are an existing customer. So if you're an existing customer, you can use one of my GoDaddy promo codes. As a matter of fact, I used one tonight to buy a brand new dedicated server. We're growing, so we need another box that makes servers that's going to be tied to a Geek News Central and our enterprises here. And I use my promo code Geek5. I save 15% off the order. When you're dealing with a $1,600 a year server, it's huge savings. But you can find all my promo codes over at geeknewscentral.com/GoDaddy. And of course, we've got web hosting services available. You get a 25% off on a web hosting plan 12 months or more. And definitely want to give you a chance to go over there and save some money on that. And use the code NAB or CES2 will work just fine on that particular promo code. And if you're a new customer of GoDaddy, what I really want you to be able to do is take advantage of that 25% off your complete order by being a brand new customer by using the promo code 25May3. And it says 25May3. And again, don't forget about the location for all the promo codes and all the specials for this month is at geeknewscentral.com. /GoDaddy. Okay, let me go ahead and let's put up the right camera so I know which one I'm talking to. What else is going on here? I think that's about it from what's happening. But dads, I hope you all were good with moms on Mother's Day again. And moms, I hope you had a nice Mother's Day out there as well. All right, let's see here. Let's go ahead and get into the full rack of content we got. We'll have comments, email comments for the show at the end of the show. We didn't have anything come into the hotline over the weekend. Pretty quiet weekend, remarkably, too, for email, which was good. You never know on those Mother's Day weekends. Sometimes people are sneaking off and working and others aren't. But first thing I want to talk about, and this has really kind of become top of mind here in our household because we have fast approaching. My daughter's going to be a junior next year in high school, so she's trying to determine whether or not she wants to go in the Air Force, if she wants to go into college. So, you know, really getting to the point where we're going to have to hopefully get her to make a decision. But I saw an article over on blogmaverick.com talking about the coming meltdown in college education and why the economy won't get any better anytime soon. And he's basically talking about the ever-increasing cost of tuition here in the United States for college degrees and the amount of student loans students have. And while this is not super tech-related, he does go into something I believe is going to become more of a player, is more schools that maybe aren't necessarily accredited but are going to be having good educational programs are going to be coming online and making available, you know, specific scholarships or specific training tracks to fill specific needs, programming, graphics design, you name it, a variety of different, you know, basically very focused educational tracks that still end up with a degree, but something that's even more enhanced than what they're getting out of a traditional college. And of course, you know, the state of Hawaii is no different than many of your other states where they're raising tuition. I think we went up to $13,000 or $14,000 a year was the tuition cost. They're saying another increase of a couple of thousand this year. So, you know, it's getting more expensive even for your state colleges. And it's something that at some point is going to have to give because all these students are borrowing all this money. And yet there's no jobs for him when they come out. But he's got a good write-up here, Mark Cuban does. I have that link up in the show notes for you to check out. Just kind of wanted to share that at the beginning if you hadn't seen it. But I'd really like to hear you guys' feedback. Those of you that have college-age students, you know, what road did you guys go? Did you go pay part of their tuition, make them get student loans? You do the whole student loan bit? You know, what was some of the things that you found? And I know there's a lot of great websites out there, and I'm starting to collect them. But what was some of your favorite websites to use with, you know, basically you're hunting for your college education and where you wanted to go to school and so forth. Love to hear your input on that. All right, there's a good article over on TechDirt, and this is 100% techie here. A Microsoft-funded BitTorrent disruptor has gotten some attention here in the last 24 hours or so. But it appears that what they were doing is they were using a company called Pirate Pay, which was funded by Microsoft, and they claim they could track and shut down unauthorized works being transmitted via BitTorrent. The report also claimed that Walt Disney Studios, Sony Pictures were already customers. And what they basically are doing is a little mini denial of service attack on peer-to-peer connections. They said, we use a number of servers to make a connection to each and every peer-to-peer client that distributed this film. Then Pirate Pay sent specific traffic to confuse these clients about the real IP address of other clients and to make them disconnect from each other. So the folks over at BitTorrent were talking about this, and they don't even know if this action was actually legal. I guess you have to get caught whether or not to be considered an attack or not. But it, you know, with this service being a targeted denial of service attack, and with a major corporation paying for the attack, it really leaves them wide open for some sort of action, some sort of legal action. So I'm going to be curious to see how this is all going to wash out, but it's pretty scary when a company can actually disrupt what you're doing on the internet, specifically because they think you're infringing on copyrighted material, whether or not it may be the case or not. But I don't know if it disturbs you or not, but it does me. We'll have to see where this ends up, but this is a Microsoft-funded company, and we'll see if they get any traction over time or how much issues are raised. There's a good article over on Ad Age, their digital part, talking about YouTube video views are falling, and YouTube isn't too concerned about it. Now, if you look at their stats, in January of 2012, they peaked out by having 74 million, let's see if it was this, minutes, 74 million minutes on, were watching, or 21 million total user years were spent on, that's a crazy number, 21, no, excuse me, total, what? Total views or total, okay, in billions. Oh, this, I'm completely blowing this here. All right, so, all right, here's the number again. Time spent in minutes watching YouTube was 74,054,000 in billions. So that's the number of people that were the time that was spent watching in January of 2012. And then total views in billions was 21,801,000, which is a huge number. So in other words, a very large number of people were watching content on YouTube, as compared to April of 2012, where the number dropped from 74 million in billions and 61,852,000 in billions. So yes, we have to add more zeros onto that. So they saw a net drop. And so here's the thing that they're saying is that YouTube is getting smaller because the redesign of YouTube recently has increased the play lengths on videos that they're kind of promoting. So what they've done here is Google is trying to shift the site from a, you know, kind of go and watch your 2-minute quirky video to a site where people are spending more time watching more longer form content. Now, that's fine with me, you know, because I have my show over on YouTube and it hardly ever gets viewed over there, largely because it's probably too long. But their change appears to be working, and user views having dropped, and the amount of minutes they spend on YouTube has dropped. But they want that in order to, again, promote the actual you know, shows that are in longer format. So this is a business play here by YouTube. So the question is, you know, are they sacrificing the short stuff in order to please the brand advertisers who are coming in and advertising on this longer, that's more serial and usually more serious in nature? So it is kind of curious to see their move here. But, you know, you look at the total amount of traffic they've been getting. If you go back to March of 2011, you know, they were doing like 39 billion user minutes. And, you know, and then that climbed all the way again to that peak of 74 billion user minutes and then back down to 61 billion. So interesting move here by YouTube. And it's it'd be curious to see where this trend goes, but they are seeing a slight drop off in the actual total number of videos being viewed as well, which kind of goes into play about the number of minutes. So I don't know if their assessment here is correct or not, or if it's just been a downturn of people not watching YouTube, but definitely this change that they've done has had a major effect on viewer hours and so forth. In an interesting pack, Sprint, T-Mobile, are all part of a new alliance to stop Verizon deals. Sprint and T-Mobile are among members of a newly formed alliance for broadband competition. That's kind of funny, right? That they named this alliance the Broadband Alliance for Broadband Competition, which is asking the FCC and Department of Justice to look closely at the potential impacts of Verizon's deals with the four cable companies. So what's going on here? A group of organizations are against Verizon Wireless's controversial agreements with cable companies Time Warner, Comcast, Bright House Networks, and so forth, and Cox, and they're wanting some more attention to be brought to these deals and see if there's fair play going on. Sprint, in a statement, said it fears that the proposed transactions between Verizon and the cable companies could undermine broadband competition. And so it's kind of like calling the kettle black, right, with the folks from T-Mobile in play here. You know, they're the ones that were just wanting to be joining at the hip with AT&T. And now they're saying, oh, no, we don't want Verizon to do any deals. Oh, how the times have changed. And you see now Sprint and T-Mobile are on the same group trying to go against the folks at Verizon. All right, investors are telling Facebook that they expect their IPO to be hit in between $34 and $38 price range in its initial public offering. So apparently the roadshow is almost over and they've just about talked to all the major investors. So we'll see what happens when the offering takes place here this coming Thursday. It's public offerings on Friday under the Facebook ticker. So it should be an exciting day to see what happens in the Facebook land when it comes to the basically an investment space. Well, a lot of shakeups going on in the CEO world. Boy, oh boy, Best Buy CEO, he's basically the chairman at this point, is out. He's resigned after a probe. Apparently, an internal investigation found that ex-CEO Brian Dunn had violated the company's policy by engaging in an inappropriate relationship with a female employee. They didn't find any misuse of company resources, but he is, who is now the chairman, is going to be out of there. Ex-CEO, and also the founder is going to step down. So that's two that are going to be out because of this. So pretty big move by the folks at Best Buy. And then over at Yahoo, boy, the Yahoo thing has come to an head here. And so now they've gotten rid of the CEO that basically was removed because of a scandal in his academic credentials. You know, here's the thing I don't get. You've got a guy who is going to be a CEO of Yahoo, and he's got a padded resume. How can that have gotten past? You know, if you or I tried to pad our resume, you know, what are they going to do? HR is going to look, ask for your transcripts. They're going to be looking, you know, everything in your background. And to pad a resume at that level is pretty shocking. It really is. Now, sadly, this guy's leaving and he has apparently been diagnosed with cancer. So, you know, but at the same point, you know, they've had to assign a new interim CEO who is by the name of Ross Levinson. And he addressed the companies and said no major changes, and they're going to continue to move forward. But here you have this, you know, this scandal at Yahoo. It's just like they're batting 1,000. They can't get nothing right over there. So it's pretty remarkable. It really is. And I bet you that there'll be a lot more scrutiny now put upon some of these high-paying CEO folks. And Yahoo has basically removed him with cause, so he's probably not going to get his severance package, which would have been in the millions of dollars, which would have been another drain on the already, embattled Yahoo. So Apple has released, moving on here, sorry, making quick changes to the topic. Apple has released an update to Leopard, and this includes a flashback removal tool. So this is a big update that I basically saw it come down and hit at least one of my machines. I haven't done them all yesterday, but the company has released a fix for Leopard, and this is going to be in the update. That's going to basically, you're being forced to, it's going to look for that flashback removal security, basically that bug. And it's going to look to basically cleaning you up, forcing you to get cleaned up. So what they're saying here is the update removes the most common variants of the flashback malware. If a flashback malware is found, a dialog will notify you that the malware was removed. In some cases, the update may need to restart your computer in order to completely remove the flashback malware. And to improve the security of your Mac, this update also disables the Java plugin in Safari. So be aware of that, okay? So this is a major update by Apple trying to combat the flashback malware. And it's a good update and will help folks get rid of that. So a nice move finally on Apple's part. Now, many students, when they get to the point where they're a junior in high school, they have to take the SATs. And sometimes they have to take them earlier in their senior year too. But imagine if the extent of your nature intelligence could be determined with a simple brain scan. You'd have to do nothing at all. They just point a machine at you and scan your brain. According to folks at Duke University, writing in Psychology Today, there's been a study conducted at UC Irvine since 1988 in which test subjects were put through various aptitude tests while conducting brain scans. What they discovered is the smartest patients required less brain power to accomplish a task, in aka efficiency. So the research team is slowly figuring out which characteristics separate the brilliant from the dim-witted, though they were not quite ready to declare their findings. A standardized testing will probably follow. So here's something that's pretty scary. You know, and this is going to involve social policy and the haves and the haves not. Can you imagine if we get to a point in our history where a student has to go in and take an aptitude test while having their brain scanned, and then that determines whether or not they're going to be able to get into the higher level colleges or not? You know, my grandmother, this famous word she used to say, she says, Todd, there's a lot of educated idiots out there. You know, and it's true. There's a lot of people out there that are very book smart. But when it comes to common sense and having to, you know, be able to work and manipulate, work with people and do stuff, there's plenty of those idiots out there. While at the same time, there's folks that aren't as high on the, maybe on the intelligence scale, but yet work hard or efficient. You know, you see it all the time. But, you know, it is pretty scary, especially if you're on the short end of the brain stick when it comes to getting scanned and they say, well, sorry, you're qualified to be whatever low menial tasking job they can assign to you versus you're going to be our next doctor or lawyer or whatever it may be. But it's definitely social and political issues are going to revolve around this, that using a brain scan instead of an SAT test. But this guy, this doctor has faith that society will sort this out. Good luck. I think reject it, quite honestly. And, but anyway, that's where they're at. They're going to tell if you're smart or stupid just by scanning your brain. All right. Facebook is launching a pay to promote feature. This is an article that was, basically kind of talked a little bit about last week. And Jen, one of our writers, went in and you know, basically took a look at this new policy. So this feature that they're testing out will allow users to pay a certain amount of money in order to have Facebook highlight or promote a particular post that they've made. And again, it's currently only being offered to those who live in New Zealand. But the purpose of the test is so that Facebook can discover if users are interested in spending money in order to have Facebook make their posts more visible than usual to other Facebook users. They're figuring that Facebook may charge as much as $2 to make a post more highlighted. And they're trying to figure out using money. Now, Jen in her article says she doubted she would use the feature. She says, I use my Facebook page to post links to my writing work and that appears on various websites. The Facebook format makes it very easy for my friends and family to find it. Goes on to say, I'll also post links to gaming-related things that I find interest in because I have some Facebook friends who are also avid gamers. I see no good reason to pay to have these posts promoted for me. Now, on the other hand, I could see from a business perspective where I posted something where I'd want it to be highlighted, not necessarily in my personal profile, but maybe in my business page where we could make that happen. I think that would be pretty cool. But time will tell whether or not they make that available for businesses or if it's just a individual deal. All right, talking about BitTorrent, the popular rock band Counting Crows are going BitTorrent. The band has made 4 songs over the latest release available for free download in an effort to attract new fans. The album titled The Underwater Sunshine, or What We Did in Our Summer Vacation, released last month, and features 15 tracks. And a departure from the past, the Crows have made the CD a collection of all cover songs, which is kind of cool. So the BitTorrent released not only the audio files, but also liner notes and artwork from the album. And this is cool. This is really cool that they've made 4 tracks available. So, you know, I'd like to see folks reward groups like this that have, you know, really kind of decided to embrace the new media space and, social media and BitTorrent. So go out and get these tracks and then reward these guys by buying their latest album. And maybe we'll see more of this stuff. So we'll see. And I guess this album's been coming for a long time. And I don't necessarily call myself a Counting Crows fan. Hey, you know, if nothing else, you're showing support for a group that's willing to go for it. Well, sadly, the folks over at LightSquared are officially filing Chapter 11. As expected, they filed for bankruptcy. And this is basically going to be the end of them, probably. $1.6 billion in debt, And this is going to turn out ugly. And they're going to probably get bought off piecemeal on pennies on the dollar. And obviously, they could never get through the FCC juggernaut that prevented them from being able to turn their services on. And they got satellites in the air. And they're up and could have been up and running. But LightSquared is filed for Chapter 11. We'll see where this goes. And obviously, a lot of companies invested a lot of money in them. And now they're just, you know, that money just flushed down the toilet. Twitter's now going to make available sending email summaries. And they're keeping weekly tabs on topics that you want to search for. So they're making available a option where you can get a created summary of the most relevant tweets and link stories sent to your email inbox. And but I don't know. I don't know if I want to get Twitter messages that are a week old and add to conversation. I don't think it really makes a lot of sense. But this is part of the Sumify acquisition that Twitter made, and they're incorporating that into the service. All right. If your phone starts ringing or buzzing kind of odd here in the coming days, it may be because of the carriers and the government are getting ready to launch the federally sponsored emergency alerts. And how this is going to work is the wireless emergency alert service is a joint effort between the U.S. wireless network operators and the federal government. And basically what's going to happen is if there's a tornado, a flash flood, a hurricane, a tsunami, dust storm, extreme winds, blizzards, ice storms, or even something that's more serious that would be requiring the president to announce some sort of a federal emergency, basically what will happen is that the government is able to implement a procedure where the alert will go from FEMA or the Weather Service into Alert Translation Service, which basically interprets all the data, knows where it's supposed to go. The alert broadcast goes to the wireless carrier systems, which sends the alert to all the cell towers within the alert area. And then the wireless carriers deliver the alert to their subscribers over their mobile devices within the geo-targeted area. And really what it does is it'll send a message, and it's supposed to chirp in a different way. So if you hear your phone making weird noise, you'll know that this is a new service being, again, operated by National Weather Service, FEMA, FCC, and Department of Homeland Security. So it's a mix-up of a 90-character message, probably with a link to go look at more information or place to tune to get more details. But again, the wireless emergency alert system, and I'm sure we'll probably have a few tests come through before it's all over. Hey, the Microsoft has detailed their new parental controls in Windows 8. And I think their approach is pretty interesting. What they're going to be doing is it's really not necessarily 100% about control. They've made it at different levels. Basically, what they're saying is that they're going to feature an easy parental controls. User can simply create a separate account for a child, a checkbox to enable family safety is present, labeled simply, is this a child's account? It turns on family safety to get reports of their PC use. The Windows 8 users will no longer be bombarded with a stream of parental permission requests to handle, but can simply set up a separate account and then receive a weekly email report summarizing the child's computer activities. Then what you can do is from within that report, you can activate or deactivate links. And so basically what's happening here is they've made it so it isn't so much about blocking everything, but also allowing the parents to, you know, have a little trust with their kids, but they get a little report, tells what they visited, where they went, and they're able to basically kind of make some decisions from that report. I think that's kind of a cool way. And I think when you first start using it, you know, do you want to wait a week for the report or do you want to get it in a couple of days? I would think I'd want one every couple of days for the first few weeks it was up running. But they can customize their own account settings, which is nice. And And so if the kids download something, it's basically all kind of like segregated in the kids' account. It doesn't allow it to be go outside those borders. So it's protected that way a lot more too. So we'll see what happens with this new Windows 8 version. All right, one thing that I do find is, of course, right now, those of you that are on geeknewscentral.com or over at live.geeknewscentral.com are on our watching this video on our Amazon Flash service. Using Amazon Flash Media Service, which is on the EC2 service and CloudFront and so forth. But Amazon has made available a new way for those of you us using their services through the Amazon Web Services, where we can now get estimates of our billing with a new alert. Now, believe me, this could have come in handy about a week and a half ago when I forgot to shut off the server and let it run for about a week, which cost me a nice $100 bill. But basically what it does is it gives you estimates of your total cost of your AWS usage to date within the current billing cycles. And it continues to increase as you consume resources so you can look at it and get an idea. So this is cool. And it's going to be able to give us a little more insight into how we're spending our money with our web services, and especially with Amazon EC2 and Amazon Web Service, it's all on demand. It's based on how much you use and then you pay as you go. So that's kind of the way it works. But we'll keep an eye on it. I know I'm going to be using it in raw voice quite a bit to watch where our stuff is going as well. All right, over in Tech Dirt, there's an article talking about, and basically is entitled, "Something is Wrong When a Judge Needs 350 Pages to Decide If a College Digital Archives Are Fair Use." And I'm not going to go into the full details of this, only to say that the judge painstakingly went through each of the 99 counts and reviewed each supposed infringement, and he only found four of the publisher in five of those 99 counts, and he used the basically the four-factor rule in determining fair use. And so there's some trade-offs here. The good news is that the judge did use the four factors. The bad news is she kind of did her own interpretation. So as this thing goes through and probably will go into appeal and so forth, publishers are not going to be happy that they lost on so many claims. But it could turn around that there could be some decisions that could be made later on based upon this ruling that could, based upon some of the interpretations she made, be bad overall for fair use clauses. So we'll see where this goes. And this will probably be in court for a lot longer because of appeals, but a minor win to a college there on digital archives and fair use, which was nice for the college to win that one. All right. You know, Owaz, but you have to give the man credit because, you know, he definitely keeps jabbing his finger at Apple, and you know, he holds an honorary title at Apple still. I think he still gets a paycheck of some sort or another. But Apple co-founder Steve Wozniak has voiced a renewed desire to see the company open its architecture to the masses, allowing savvy users to expand and add it to their products at will. However, Woz basically qualified his desire for a more open Apple by arguing that openness should not impinge on quality of the product themselves. He says that he sees any changes of heart and openness a challenge because Apple's just making such a huge pile of cash at this point. And, you know, what's making money? Why change the formula when it's been successful? But it is interesting to see him come out and support an open architecture standard for the company. Now, I'm not going to be able to play this video on the show, but I'm going to bring up the YouTube image art that's on this, so that I can show it to you. YouTube is still flagging anytime we're showing any type of videos that don't belong to us. So all I can really do is link to this. The satellite known as Electro-L number 1 took an image from a stationary point 35,000 kilometers above the Indian Ocean. And this is the most detailed image of the Earth yet available. It was captured in a single shot with 121 megapixel. NASA satellites use a collection of pictures from multiple flybys stitched together. Detail in this picture is pretty amazing, and I'll let you guys play the video when you link to it it is pretty remarkable. I wish they could zoom in a little more, but the colors are just simply fantastic in this video. And it's unlike any picture I've seen from space of this thing we call Earth. But it's cool to see. And what I want you to watch for when you watch the video is you can see the reflection of the sun off the ocean. It's really cool. And it'll make you go, definitely when you watch the video, watch for the reflection of the sun off the Earth as they're taking the pictures. Pretty remarkable image, and it's unlike anything I've seen, and I think any of you have seen either, so I'll have that up for you to take a look. All right, another article on Slashdot was Kickstarter's had some issues. Crowdfunding startup Kickstarter has got a little bit of a PR mess on its hands. 70,000 not-yet-public project ideas were left exposed on the company's website for more than 2 weeks. Kickstarter insisted that no financial information was compromised. Only a few dozen of the projects were actually accessed. But you're getting ready to do a project, announce something, and, you know, these are available for people to see without you announcing it, and someone could come in behind you and launch a project before you, taking your idea. So they got to nip this in the bud in a hurry. And, you know, they understand that this is sensitive, but it's unacceptable. And hopefully they're able to or have gotten this locked down in a big, big way. All right, the Foxconn folks are denying a report that it's working on an Apple TV. Foxconn is obviously Apple's Mac daddy, a manufacturer in China. The company refuted the rumors after stories were published last week that the company's chief executive, Terry Gua, had said that Foxconn was making preparation for a Apple iTV. So this is a denial. Probably Apple reached out and smacked them to say nothing. But at the same time, there was another rumor, and this one actually resulted in another company's stock going way up. But there's a German home entertainment maker by the name of, what is it? Here's background. In the early hours of Sunday, Apple Insider reported an anonymous source saying that Apple had offered $87.3 million for the company called Loewe, L-O-E-W-E, which makes sleek TV sets and speakers. It was quickly refuted by the folks at Loewe that this was not the case. There was absolutely nothing to it. But apparently the rebuttal didn't gain as much pickup or as exposure, because on Monday morning, their stocks were up by 25%. Now, if you think about what's going on here, their stock was at $4 and I don't know if this is in pounds or euros. It looks like in euros. So it was at about €4.480, and then it upon open on Monday, it jumped to €5.60. I don't know if it's the right way to say dollars, but yeah, €5.60, and so a huge jump. And some are saying, okay, was someone doing a little stock manipulation where they, you know, did they put a purchase order in and then have sitting on stock and then dump it immediately? But the stock has stayed up pretty high, hasn't dropped, but they're denying that this is the case. But it would be curious if Apple did buy this company, because they make very sleek designs for their speakers and the casings that go around the TVs that they sell. So we'll see if this rumor mill pans out, but the company is at least initially denying it, and the stock basically jumped up and someone made a bunch of money. All right, in the past on this show, we've talked about Bitcoin a little bit, and from time to time, stories are out about Bitcoin, specifically usually negative stuff, and today is no different. The hackers apparently broke into a Bitcoin exchange, stealing $90,000 in Bitcoins. This is the Bitcoin exchange site Bitconica, suspended its operations this past Friday after hackers had managed to steal 18,547 Bitcoins. So apparently the database, the user database was compromised as well. So it's huge. You know, they compromise user information, yet we're able to steal Bitcoins. And these Bitcoin operators have got to get these sites locked down so that there isn't going to be this ongoing, you know, essentially robbery of Bitcoins. And I don't know if they can recover and reset or whatever, but it apparently they've it's a big issue, and people are out money. So you know, there was another basically a heist as well. They were attacked back in March, where they stole 43,000. So this company's got some big security issues, and they need to get that squared away in a hurry. Well, it appears that June is going to be a big month. It appears that there's going to be an Ivy Bridge Mac launch, alongside probably the Mountain Lion update. Some benchmarks are being released on the new Ivy Bridge Macs, and some people are basically coming out with some information already. So it appears that Apple's going to aim to launch Mountain Lion in June along with the new machine. And we'll see where this goes. But the Sandy Bridge Macs, when rolled out, are going to be pretty powerful. And we'll have to see where this where these new Macs end up on the benchmark scale. But boy, oh boy, if you're thinking about buying a new Mac, please wait at this point for these new laptops are going to be coming out, okay? Just be aware, they're forthcoming. Facebook did make some updates to their privacy stuff this past Friday. They basically said deleting an app doesn't delete your data from the app's site. Now, what they're saying is when you're using Facebook, whatever you have your privacy settings to, when you use an app that is a third-party app, Facebook basically sends them the information on you that you basically have public available. So it's over there. That public data is at the like gaming site or whatever you're at. And then when you get ready to bounce and you delete that app, you need to go to the app maker and ask them to delete your information. Otherwise, they've got it in perpetuity, and they're obviously going to be using that for marketing. But they have defined their privacy stuff a little better, so that at least you know what's happening with your data. Okay, we all know, and my mom specifically, my mom's a produce broker, and the Michigan area was devastated with very warm weathers. All the peach, apple trees, everything basically woke up and started to bud, and then followed by five or six really deep frosts. It completely decimated the fruit crop out of Michigan for 2012. I mean, it's really bad. Expect to pay more for your peaches, your apples. You know, if you're not getting stuff out of California, if you're getting stuff out of Michigan, it's going to be insanely expensive this year in the grocery store. So unless you get Georgia peaches or whatever, but make a long story short here, record-setting 2012 warmth was largely confined to North America and Western Europe. Now, they've come up with a heat map of basically this very hot spring that we've had across most of the United States. And what's pretty amazing is the rest of the world has had pretty much normal temperatures. But when they, let me flip here. When they had the North America stuff put in there, very obvious that we are way above normal from a heat perspective between January and April. It was off the chart hot as compared to the rest of the world that was semi-normal. So it makes you go, a little bit in that perspective. So it makes you wonder why we and Western Europe were more affected than others. But that's the word on the street from a satellite perspective, than being able to see exactly what the temperatures were on a heat scale, on an average. All right, if you've got an Android phone, there's a good article over at Ars Technica on how to harden your smartphone against stalkers. And I'll have that link up in the show notes for you to check out. How many of you as a kid had an Etch-a-Sketch? I'm sure most of you did. And there's a project getting started by on Kickstarter that would bring back the old time joys of Etch-a-Sketch for the iPad generation. So they're putting together a goal to raise some money to basically build an Etch-a-Sketch model for the iPad. Don't know what it's going to look like, but at the moment you can pre-order yours on Kickstarter and help them reach their funding goal. And then you can buy in at the $60 level. So Etch-a-Sketch coming to an iPad near you. I'm sure it won't be able to be named the same thing, but I'm sure it'll be something similar. There's always cool websites that I find that are service-specific utility. And this is a brand new one that I'm being made aware of. And I found this over on makingwindowseasy.com. It's a site called factoryreset.com. You know, we all have devices, smartphones, tablets, MP3 players, and sometimes you can, some of them have built-in factory resets or hard resets that you can do yourself, but sometimes maybe you want to go step by step and you don't want to do a full reset, or if you have televisions or video receivers and so forth, they've got a whole stack of different devices and that she basically shows all the factory reset settings for. And you'll be able to go in and pull that information if you want to reset stuff on a case-by-case basis, or explains to you how to do the complete factory reset. Over on switching to, gears here and going into a little space news, the folks over at the Daily Galaxy got a great article here on the solar system's missing boundaries. We all know that Voyager, both of the Voyagers, at this point are basically almost getting to the place where they're going to be into open space. And they are going through the heliosphere. And apparently there's different gradients of the heliosphere. And I guess they're kind of like into, I don't know if they call it phase two or part two or anyway, long story short here. Well, they call it the first boundary and the second boundary. What they're finding evidence of is that they expected to find essentially an area called the termination shock. Now, this is the point where the solar wind streaming from the sun slows down between supersonic speeds. From there, the wind continues more slowly until it collides with the material in the rest of the galaxy and push back, deflecting around outskirts of the heliosphere and streaming back towards the tail of the moving bubble. Now, what they're finding here is that there is really, they don't think there is going to be a true termination shock area. And they're feeling the speed of the heliosphere is slower than what they thought. They're getting all kinds of great scientists. The scientists are absolutely going absolute crazy over some of this information. And, you know, who would have thought that Voyager would have, at this point in the game, gotten scientists so absolutely excited over the data coming back. But they're also finding out that the heliosphere is not as uniform between from where Voyager's the two different spacecraft are going out. And so this is some pretty cool stuff. I have the link up in the show notes. You can read the whole thing. But NASA is hot on the trail of this and watching the details coming out. But time will tell where this leads and what type of scientists. It's just going to be fun to watch over the coming years as more data is brought out. Now, this coming Saturday will be the SpaceX private launch if they don't extend it anymore. So if you want to watch the liftoff scheduled at 4:55 a.m. Eastern Daylight Time, yes, that's very early for all of you, you're going to be able to get up, and they're going to be live on NASA TV, and they're also going to have it, of course, streamed live. So the NASA TV coverage will begin at 3:30 a.m. Eastern Daylight Time and will conclude approximately 5:30 a.m. What's going to be awesome is it's still going to be early here for me, and I'm going to be able to watch it Friday night. So the SpaceX launch, they'll have a press conference an hour or so after the launch. So we'll see where this leads and how well they do. But this is big, and they're going to have a lot of different stuff going on. NASA TV will have coverage both Monday and Tuesday and Wednesday. We'll talk about the rendezvous and docking of the Dragon spacecraft to the station. So this is full on. Of course, they're not going to do the complete approach. They're going to get hooked and then brought in but they're going to have the coverage of the opening of the hatch and everything. So this is exciting stuff for the folks at SpaceX. Let's hope they have a successful launch. Expedition 31 Soyuz rocket has rolled out. So the Soyuz TMA-04M spacecraft is has been raised into position, and they're scheduled for a 9:01 a.m. local time launch today. So they're about ready to bust on out of here, heading towards the International Space Station. It's going to have Expedition 31 Soyuz Commander Gennady Padalka and Flight Engineer Sergey Revin of Russia and Prime NASA Flight Engineer Joe Akaba are scheduled. Matter of fact, 9:01 probably has already launched. If I'm back here, nothing in the news. It must have been a good launch because it's they're far enough ahead in the time scale that they probably already have punched to orbit. So we'll be on the lookout for that as I'm doing the show notes tonight. Hey, there's a great picture. I'll have it up in the show notes. It's a image I saw over at Universe Today. They captured a meteorite going through the atmosphere, and pretty cool fireball. And I have that link up in the show notes for you to check out. Not often that people catch that. Along with that, there's a time-lapse shuttle Enterprise being removed from the 747, and they show the unloading and basically having it dropped onto its skids. So I have the link up in that where you can check that video out. It's a whopping 1 minute long. This past weekend, we are also we had a close call. We had a nice big rock fly by us at 190,000 kilometers or 118,000 miles from Earth. It was about a half a lunar distance, so definitely was came in and exited stage right. But this thing is kind of an interesting orbit, and it brings it within range of Earth on a regular basis. So. I don't know. Obviously, they haven't talked about it too much, but it zoomed on by without issue. All right. If you're a LinkedIn fan, if you have a Windows phone, you definitely want to pick up the latest application for LinkedIn over on Windows Phone. That's available. They also have, I think they've already had it available, of course, for iOS as well. I use LinkedIn a lot. I'm going to tell you, if you're looking for a job, LinkedIn's a great place to go and look at their classifieds. It really is. That's a good place to go look for jobs. A lot of good listings over there. And people that list companies that list job openings over there have to pay between $250 and $400 for a listing. So you know they're serious about hiring somebody. So I have to definitely check that out when you're over on LinkedIn next time. Now, Zune. We haven't talked about Zune a lot. Of course, the Zune marketplace is still up and running. The Zune hardware is long gone and no longer being sold. But it's interesting that one of the major marketing folks, name of Robbie Bach, basically said Zune hardware was a mistake. He said, I think our marketing message was very confused. And so this is an admission by some folks that were on that team that this was not a smart move that they had made. Pretty revealing here. And he says, we just weren't brave enough. And he said, we didn't chase Apple hard enough. So interesting admission there by a prior Microsoft executive. Now, straight out of the space age, there's an article over on the BBC that got my attention in a big way today. I had an eye appointment this past week, basically going to, I have a new prescription, and we talked, and I basically told him I'm not real keen on wearing glasses all the time, and asked him if LASIK was a procedure for me, and basically my glasses aren't thick enough for LASIK. And but he did talk about a retinal implant and basically putting in a lens, a permanent lens. And the price on it was a little bit steep, around $8,000 to do a retinal implant. But he says basically once that's done, you'll never need glasses again. And so we talked quite a bit about that. And it's something that's on my consideration list, not saying that I'm going to get it done, because sadly, insurance won't pay for it. It's an elective type deal. Until you get cataracts, your insurance won't pay. So up to this point, it's just purely, you know, they'd rather pay for your glasses for the next 20 years versus having this retinal implant put in, which doesn't make a lot of sense to me. But long story short, there's a brand new article on the BBC News talking about light-powered bionic eye. Now, implants have been used already, but they've had to be installed with basically a wire to power them. The new device described in the Journal of Natural Photonics uses a special pair of glasses to beam a near-infrared light into the eye. This powers the implant and sends the information which could help a patient see. Diseases such as age-related macular degeneration and retinal pigmentosa results in the death of cells, which can detect light in the eye, eventually leads to blindness. So there's some new retinal implants being made and tested in Europe. This is exciting stuff. I'm telling you, folks, it ain't going to be long. They're going to have us wired. They really, really are. It's very cool. And, you know, our vision impaired folks, I'm sure this can't come anytime too soon. But I'm just wondering, how many of you have any of you had the lenses put in, the retinal implants? Have you had basically they take what the cataract lens is out and they put it's really not cataract because it's not a cataract yet, but if they take the lens out and put in a new one, have any of you had that done? And what's the results been like? Love to hear from you. Okay. Are you worried about being snooped on? Are you worried about someone sniffing your home? Well, they're selling a new type of wallpaper. Actually, it's been invented, coming to market. And it basically, you can wallpaper your house and make a Faraday cage. And this stuff is supposed to be as inexpensive as wallpaper. And you'll be able to put this up on the wall and it basically blocks RF. Very cool. It's designed as an effective at blocking some frequency of the electromagnetic radiation, naming that a typical Wi-Fi signals. And if you don't like the look of the design, you can either paint over it, cover it with your favorite flowered wallpaper. So I'd be curious to see what frequencies it prevented. But an interesting product here by some folks. They're thinking of everything, right? Another article over on Ogizmo, and this one here could be very dangerous. This is not one you're going to want to buy for your kids, but I'd love to have one of these on my desk. It's a mini Canon. $29.99. It will, if you use a BB and gunpowder, you can actually fire a BB up to 100 yards. It'll pierce Coke cans, skin, and eyeballs as well. So, and it does make a very large bang. So, I can't see nothing good of coming this with black powder and BBs, but at least it would be fun to have on the desktop as a talk piece for $29. All right, Facebook has redesigned their mobile site and app, and they've taken a tip or two from Instagram. So if you haven't gotten the update, it is available, and they've done a pretty nice job on it. You know, we've all gotten used to Wi-Fi, but have you heard about 802.11ac? Oh, yeah, you say AC. What does that mean, Todd? I've never heard of 802. I've heard 802.11n, but what is 802.11ac? Well, there's a brand new wireless router coming to market by the folks at Buffalo. You're going to start seeing these in stores now with Netgear and folks coming out too. It is going to be using the 5 gigahertz range from a bandwidth standpoint or from a frequency standpoint. $179 is one that's from Buffalo, but you're going to start seeing these next year. Your current laptops and stuff won't work with it, so don't get too rammy and going out and buy something. But this is a new router. It is reverse compatible with the 802.11ns that are out there as well. All right, Solyndra, you know, that's a company that just absolutely squandered a bunch of taxpayer dollars, but their manufacturing office facility with 411,000 square feet and with a state-of-the-art electrical air and power distribution is now available for sale as part of the bankruptcy proceedings. Solyndra is reportedly very close to landing a buyer for its high-tech production plant in Fremont. And so anyway, this is there was actually the listing agent gave Fox News a tour of the plant. So the new owners are going to get is a heck of a building for a multi-million dollar investment. I have a link up in the show notes for you to check out. If you want to see the video that Fox did, a link will be there as well. iCloud was down today for a little while, for about 90 minutes. So if you had trouble accessing iCloud, it was offline. All right, new MacBook Pros confirmed to have the NVIDIA graphics. So that's pretty exciting for those of you. They've located references to the GeForce GT650. So that has got a bunch of the gamers excited. But we'll see what happens with this. And also, they're being rumored that the new MacBook Pros are going to have a USB 3.0, which would be huge for those folks like me that rely on high speeds for data transfer and doing video editing and so forth. All right, let's go ahead and get into the show notes. But let's see here. We got a contest for the next show. And basically, what I want to do is, I had something written down. What I wanted to do was, I send me feedback on how you're listening to the show, where. So basically what I want to know is, you know, what's your typical consumption place? Is it in your car? Is it on the treadmill? Are you doing a lean back experience and watching me on a Roku, on the Boxy? Are you listen to me while you're in transit on an aircraft? You know, tell me your top one or two places you listen to the show. Entitle the post with the comment contest number 5 and in the subject line. Just send it to geeknews@gmail.com. Again, geeknews@gmail.com. But let me know where you're listening to the show. And basically, another thing you can tell me too is, you know, how soon after the show? Are you listening the next day? Or are you listening a week later? How soon are you listening to the podcast that you download specifically? I'd love to hear from you on that. All right, let me go ahead and get into the show notes here. Got an email here from Andrew. He said, "Hey, Todd, not particularly geeky, but perhaps of interest for today's show." Let's see, what is this involved? Let me look. Dollar Bill reveals World War II drama. Okay, I'll have that link up in the show notes. Thanks for Andrew. Yes, not super geeky, but cool nonetheless. Got an email here from Tim that talks about the Yahoo CEO designing. Also got an email from Tim talking about the iOS 6 to drop Google Maps for Apple Maps, that we knew about that last week. Got an email here from Tim. Three from Tim is hitting it out of the ballpark. Todd, my idea on DVRs is that technology didn't exist in the first place. People still wouldn't be watching those ads because they probably would miss the show. There are times anyways where I end up not fast forwarding because I'm doing something on my iPad, or I jammed the kitchen for something like to drink or something. I can still see how the theory is flawed, but bravo Dish anyway. And this is in Dish and basically allowing you to fast forward through all the ads prior to the show starting. You can select, he says, rent entry had to cut DirecTV because of a new line of sight issues with the satellite. Okay, with new line of sight issues with the satellite, we couldn't resolve. Got to experience cutting the cord and didn't like it. Hulu Plus absolutely sucks, and Amazon Prime and Star Trek can only take you so far. So I got Time Warner Cable. They boosted my internet to 30 megs for 6 months. Keep the shows coming, Tim. Also, I got an email here talking about Google mapping the insides of shopping malls. He's wondering if we're going to map the inside of my home, which is kind of funny. And what else? I think that's it. Let me look at the date on kind of an interesting collection of emails that come in. I think that's all. All right, for contest number 5, again, tell me how you're consuming the show, when, where, and how, and how many days after it's created. Are you listening? Are you listening the next day? Are you listening within a week or whatever? Just drop me a line on that, geeknews@gmail.com. As always, your comments are greatly appreciated. geeknews@gmail.com. Voicemail hotline is available 24 hours a day, 7 days a week at 619-342-7365. And Spitballs said, hey, I was watching live on the big screen on Google TV this morning with a big smiley face. Well, cool. I'm glad you were. Were you watching the HD version or were you watching the regular version? That's the question. All right, folks. Thanks. Yes, you do know the video's got three versions, mobile, regular, and HD. So we do a 1280 by 720, and a 640 by 360, and a 320 by 180. Those are all RSS feeds that are available. You'll see them in the show notes. All right, everyone. Thanks for being here. Thanks for hanging out with me. It's been fun. And we'll see if, did Ustream stay up today? Let me look. It's a miracle. Ustream stayed online. All right, everyone. Take care. We'll see you next time. And aloha.